So once again, happy Thanksgiving. I try to be a thankful person, and I have a personal practice around that, as some of you know. And I try to approach each day with the eyes of gratitude. But today is for saying so out loud, and for communal practice of Thanksgiving in a more formal and focused way. So I'll begin by saying that I'm very thankful, and I'll continue with the question. And it has to do with the word blessed. Not long ago, I was talking about something, and I said, I'm lucky. And the person I was with said, you're not lucky, you're blessed. And I confess to you some discomfort around that word. Don't get me wrong, I do feel blessed by God. But I want to be more aware of and disciplined in thinking about what is the difference between blessing and privilege. If I say I'm blessed with good health, for example, does that mean that those whose health is not good are not blessed, or somehow God chose me instead of you? And I just find that very confusing. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes the good things that I have are a complete accident of where I was born, when in history, and to whom. And to truly appreciate those good things and honor them in my life, I need to acknowledge that they come from a place of privilege, and then I need to work hard to do what I can to see that all others have those things too. So blessings and privilege, I don't know, I look forward to a conversation about that someday. And that's not the point of this sermon, but it's been on my mind, and I just wanted to throw that out and perhaps start a discussion with you at some point. I'm always thankful for this community of faith. And I don't say that lightly, not only for this particular congregation, but we, for the national body, the United Church of Canada, and for the faithful people all through the ages. We have a tremendous heritage, we do. And I'm quite aware that there are terrible things in our history as well. I'm very aware of that. And I know that I'm terrible sometimes too. And who knows what future generations will say about the church now. But we are part of a huge family that spans geography and time. And I'm very thankful for that. It helps me understand who I am. It places a claim on my life. I know that I'm not alone. I know that I don't just belong to myself, but rather I'm part of something big and good and meaningful. And that's what is going on in this reading of Deuteronomy. I think the people are reminding themselves at a very hard time in their history. They're reminding the people and giving them tools to cope with the change and the fear that is going on at that time, giving them an identity and a vision. You're part of something, and it wouldn't be the same without you. And not only are you part of it, but everyone is. And the aliens who reside among you, that's code, that's everybody. This is a universal vision, and I know it gets twisted as well as things do, but that's the vision. I spent last weekend at a conference where we were talking about the changes in the church, and specifically how the changes in society and consequently the church are affecting especially small churches. So I have that stuff running around in my head, and I've been participating in some webinars about mental health, factors that contribute to good mental health, and so I'm thinking about that too. And I know that all of that is a huge topic and involves biology and politics and sociology and more. But it seems to me that over and over, what all of the experts say is that to be healthy as a congregation or as an individual, to be healthy and whole, you need some things. Connection with others, community, a place where you belong. With children and teens, they especially talk about the third place. That every kid needs a third place, home, school, and one other place where they're loved and safe and accepted. You need to be part of something bigger than you are, a sense of participating in something big. You need to feel you have agency, power to change things and make a difference in the world. In all of academia, as far as I can see, these things are uncontested. There's no discipline, there's no part of research or common sense that argues with these things. Being part of a community gives meaning and purpose and identity and sustains our health, mental, physical, and spiritual. So, when I say I'm thankful for you and for this community, I mean that. This Thanksgiving, I say thank God for you and for how you are giving meaning and purpose to my life, and to one another, and to who knows how many others. There are lots of people I meet downtown who will say, I don't go to your church. But if I went to your church, I'd go to yours. And it's a place I know that I would be safe. Isn't that interesting? That's very interesting. So when I thank God for you, for how you give meaning and purpose to my life and one another, is really important in more ways than we know. So I have a wondering book, not a question. When there seems to be an epidemic of loneliness and depression in our society, and when we know that one thing that can really help is being part of a community, and connection to something or someone bigger than us. Why do people avoid church like a plague? Why? We're not the only place you can find community. I'm not saying that, but it's one. When we gather and when we sing together, also scientifically proven, health-sustaining music changes your brains. When we join our beings in prayer and openness to the mystery, and when we do things to help one another and our community and our world that we could never do alone as individuals, our brains are changed, our lives are changed, our souls are enriched. Sometimes I have the privilege of attending events led by Indigenous leaders, and I'm always struck by how they call on their ancestors. They often introduce themselves by who their ancestors were. They know how important it is for a sense of well-being and identity. And so many of them say that the rediscovery of ceremony has been vital to their own health as individuals and communities. Knowing our ancestors, participating in ceremony. That's what we do here. That's exactly what Deuteronomy 26 is on about. They tell stories. And that's what that, when you go and you harvest the first of your land, bring it to the priest and then tell the story. Tell the story of what God has done for you. Tell the story of your history and your ancestors. Tell it. Again, I did this to way too many webinars, but listen to a psychologist who focuses on teens and addiction. And she works with them by telling stories, and she says that stories are foundational and that our brains are hardwired for stories. So, community, meaning, ancestors, music, ceremony, gee, where could a person get all that? There may be places in our society today where people can, across generations, just anyone at all, whether or not you're just anyone at all, can come together regularly to be immersed in story and music and silence and questions of deep meaning and connecting to others. There may be lots of places. I don't know many, but I know this is one of them. This is just such a place, and I'm proud and I'm thankful for that. And whatever the future will hold for us, whether there'll be enough of us to keep this building, for example, or whether you'll have enough people and resources to pay for a minister, for another example, I don't know. But whatever the future might hold that way, the core of the ministry, the work of the risen and rising one among us is that, to hold out before us a life that is rich and deep and rooted in the kind of gratitude that results in bold actions of compassion and justice. Centered around Jesus, a life that gives us tools for abundant life in every way, community, connection, identity, story, ceremony. And I'm so thankful for our faithful, noble heritage that can offer us these things, not only to ourselves, but to our kids and those on the margins and to those who will come after us someday. So I wish you a blessed Thanksgiving and an abundance of life in every way. May God bless you as you think about these things.